Let me ask you something before we even start. When was the last time you looked at the busiest chunk of airspace near you and actually understood where the shelves were? Not the general shape, the exact numbers, the floors, the ceilings, the little step-downs that stack up like a cake somebody flipped over. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to talk about Class Bravo, the big one. The airspace that sits over the busiest airports in the country, and the one I see students tiptoe around like it's electrified. It doesn't have to be scary, but it does demand that you know exactly what you're doing. So let's walk through this together. Before we dig in, a quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones nobody sees but you, aviationsoul.com. All right, Class Bravo, here's the mental picture I want you to hold on to. Somebody took a wedding cake, a big one, several tiers, and turned it upside down. The smallest tier, the point, is on the ground, right at the primary airport. Then as you move out, each tier gets wider and its floor sits higher off the ground, right over the field. The Bravo usually goes from the surface all the way up. Move out a few miles, and now the floor might be at 1,500 feet, then 3,000, then 4,000, then 5,000. And so on until you reach the outer ring. The top of the ceiling is typically 10,000 feet across the whole thing. Why upside down? Because it's built to protect the arrival and departure paths of the airliners. Close to the field, they're low, so the airspace comes all the way down to grab them. Farther out, they're higher, climbing or descending on the arrival, so the protective airspace lifts up to match. The shape isn't random, it's drawn around the actual flight paths of the heavy iron. Now here's the part I really want to land, because this is where pilots get themselves in trouble. To operate inside Class Bravo, you need a specific clearance. Not radar contact, not a frequency change, not a friendly controller saying your call sign. You need to hear the words cleared into the Bravo or cleared into the Class Bravo airspace. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Those words are the whole ballgame. If you have not heard them, you're not cleared, period. Let me paint you the scenario, because I've watched this one happen for real. Student pilot, solo cross country, skirting the edge of a big Metro Bravo. They call approach. They say, November 1234, request transition through the Bravo. The controller comes back, busy fast, and says, November 34, roger, squawk 0243 ident. And the student thinks, great, I'm in. I've been acknowledged, they've got my squawk. And they fly right into the wedding cake. But listen to what actually happened there. The controller said roger, the controller assigned a squawk code. What the controller did not say was cleared into the Bravo. And without those magic words, that student just busted the airspace. This trips people up because in Class Delta and Class Charlie, the rules are different. In Delta, hearing your call sign establishes two-way communication, and that's your ticket to enter. In Charlie, same idea, two-way comms plus a discrete squawk, and you're good. So, students carry that habit right up to the edge of the Bravo, and it does not work the same way. Bravo is stricter. Bravo requires an explicit clearance to enter. The controller has to affirmatively say you're cleared in. If all you get is a squawk code and a roger, what that often means is, I see you, stand by. I'm working on whether I can fit you in. It is not permission to enter. So what do? You stay outside the airspace below the shelf or clear of the boundary until you hear those words. If you're getting close to the edge and you still haven't heard them, you turn, you level off under the floor, you do whatever it takes to stay out until the clearance comes. Let's talk about what the airman certification standards expect from you here, because this shows up on the private pilot check ride. The ACS wants you to know the entry requirements for each class of airspace, and it wants you to be able to identify the vertical and horizontal boundaries. The examiner is looking for you to understand that Bravo entry requires a clearance, that Charlie and Delta require two-way communication, and that you can tell the difference between them under a little bit of pressure. And here's a favorite examiner question. What's the difference between hearing your call sign and being cleared into the Bravo? If you can explain that cleanly, you've shown them something real. Now let's talk equipment, because Bravo has requirements before you even get to the clearance. To fly in Class Bravo, your airplane needs a few things. You need a two-way radio, obviously. You need a transponder with altitude reporting. That's Mode C. And since January of 2020, you need ADS-B out. That's Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast. That's the system that broadcasts your position, your altitude, and your identity out to the controllers and to other traffic several times a second. And here's a detail a lot of pilots forget. The transponder and ADS-B out requirement doesn't stop at the edge of the Bravo. There's a bigger ring around it called the Mode C veil. It extends 30 nautical miles from the primary airport, from the surface all the way up to 10,000 feet. Inside that entire 30-mile ring, even if you're nowhere near the actual Bravo shelves, even if you're low and clear of all of it, you still need that transponder and ADS-B out running. So you can be legally outside the Bravo, underneath a shelf, not talking to anybody, and still be inside the Mode C veil, where your equipment has to be squawking. Know where that 30-mile ring is on your chart. It's drawn as a thin blue line. Let's talk about reading the chart itself, because this is where the wedding cake becomes real numbers.
On a sectional, Class Bravo is drawn with solid blue lines. Each ring, each shelf, has a set of numbers stacked like a little fraction. The top number is the ceiling, the bottom number is the floor. So if you see 100 over 40, that means the ceiling is 10,000 feet and the floor of that shelf is 4,000 feet. Everything between 4,000 and 10,000 in that ring is Bravo. Below 4,000 in that particular spot, you're underneath it and you're clear. That underneath part is how a lot of us actually operate around the big airports. You duck under the shelves. If the floor is 4,000, you fly at 3,500, stay below the blue, and you never touch the Bravo at all. No clearance needed. Just good chart reading and good altitude discipline. But be honest with yourself about your altitude control. Here's something that is not easy, and I won't pretend it is. Flying a few hundred feet under a shelf in bumpy air, while you're also navigating and looking for traffic, takes real attention. If the floor is 4,000 and you let yourself drift up to 4,100 without a clearance, you've busted the Bravo. Give yourself a buffer. Fly 3,500, not 3,900. Leave yourself room. Let's do a real scenario, start to finish, so you can hear how a good Bravo transition sounds. You're planning to transition through a Class Bravo on a cross country because going around adds 20 minutes and a bunch of fuel. Good decision making means you plan for both outcomes. You have a route through it, and you have a route around it in case the clearance never comes. You get the ATS. You've got your squawk and radio set. You're approaching the outer ring, and you make the call. Approach. November 1234, a Cessna 172 12 miles southwest at 3,500. Request Bravo transition northeast bound, destination such and such. Now you wait. And here's the discipline part. You keep flying your planned route that stays clear of the airspace until you hear the answer. You do not turn toward the Bravo on the assumption they'll say yes. If the controller comes back with November 34, cleared into the Bravo, maintain 3,500, proceed northeast, now you're in, read it back. Read back the clearance and the altitude. Now you can fly your direct route, but if the controller comes back with November 34, remain clear of the Bravo, then you execute your other plan. You go around or you go under, no argument, no negotiation. That's the whole reason you plan two routes. And sometimes you get the in-between. Unable Bravo clearance at this time, remain clear, expect clearance in 5 miles. Fine. You hold your position clear of the airspace, maybe you slow down and you wait. Patience is a skill here. I want to talk for a second about why this matters beyond just passing a check ride. Because the numbers are real when you bust a Bravo, you're not just breaking a rule on paper. You're potentially putting a small airplane into the path of an airliner full of people who have every reason to believe that airspace is protected. That's why the FAA takes it seriously. A Bravo violation can mean a phone number to call, a conversation with the Flight Standards District Office, and depending on how it went, some remedial training or worse. It's one of the more common ways a good pilot ends up with a mark on an otherwise clean record. But I don't want you to be scared of it. I want you to be precise about it. Fear makes people avoid the Bravo entirely, and that's a shame, because a Bravo transition is one of the great conveniences of flying. It saves you time. It saves you fuel, and honestly, working with a busy approach controller makes you a sharper pilot. Precision is what lets you use it with confidence, so let's boil it down to what you can actually use on your next flight. Before you go anywhere near a Bravo, pull up the chart and read the shelves. Know the floors and ceilings along your route, know where the 30-mile Mode C veil is, make sure your transponder and your ADS-B out are working before you launch. Not after plan, two routes, through and around. So the answer to your clearance request never puts you in a bind.
When you call, be clear and complete. Who you are, what you are, where you are, your altitude, and what you want. And then wait for the words, cleared into the Bravo. Until you hear them, you stay out. A Roger is not a clearance. A squawk code is not a clearance. Your call sign is not a clearance. Only the clearance is the clearance. Here's the last thing, and it's the thing I want you to carry with you. In this airspace, listening is a skill just as much as flying is. The pilots who move through the Bravo smoothly aren't the ones with the fastest airplanes or the fanciest panels. They're the ones who listen carefully, who read back accurately, and who know the difference between being acknowledged and being cleared. Get that difference into your bones, and one of the most intimidating pieces of airspace in the country turns into just another tool in your bag. Thanks to the FAA's Aeronautical Information Manual and the Airman Certification Standards for the framework behind today's segment. You can find more from us over at RadioHangar.com. Go read the shelves around your home field this week. Really look at them. I think you'll be surprised how much sense that upside-down cake makes once you sit with it. I'm Pattern. Keep it precise, and I'll see you next time.